Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Hello, and I am the aforementioned Jason Thomas, here hosting the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast. Here to talk some Kansas City Chiefs football going into the week one game against the Cleveland Browns. You know, if you're a Chiefs fan out there, you probably, you know, have a good idea of where this Chiefs team is going into the first game of the season. You know, there was the news with Willie Gay and the turf toe getting put on IR that he's not going to be available for this first three-game stretch, which is, you know, probably the three best run teams the Chiefs will play all season. So that's a little bit unfortunate, but that's really the big news this week, other than Tyrann Mathieu did test positive for COVID, but he should have time to get cleared before the game Sunday in all likelihood, so that shouldn't be that big of a problem. You know, the rest of the news on the Chiefs side is pretty good. Both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams, the running backs that had been injured for the last you know, preseason game, are both available and should both, you know, have their normal role in the offense for week one. And then, you know, outside of that, I think LDT and Austin Blythe, you know, both have a chance to be active for week one in backup roles. So that's good news there. Neither one of those guys had to go on IR. Of course, Kyle Long went on PUP, so he's out the first 6 weeks. And then on defense, it'll be interesting to see who slides into that Willie Gay role. If it's going to be Ben Neiman or Nick Bolton or some combination of the two of them. But this is going to be a tough week to, you know, play against the Browns and not have your fastest linebacker out there. I was doing a little research on the Browns for this podcast, and of course the last game the Browns played last season was against the Chiefs when they lost to us in the playoffs, so that's in their memory. These two teams, of course, are obviously know each other pretty well. So, you know, they were talking about how in the preseason the Browns threw to their running backs a lot more this preseason. A lot of swing passes, a lot of screen passes. They thought they were trying to put that on tape for the Chiefs. And one thing the Browns really didn't do this preseason was play their starters. Their starters got almost no time together in the preseason, so they haven't had any real game snaps with each other yet. So with all the swing passes and the screen passes, that has to make you think, you know, that's where Willie Gay could really shine in a linebacker role. You know, Hitchens and then whatever other linebacker we have out there, you know, aren't particularly fast. At least Hitchens and Neiman, you know, they have the smarts to go with it. You know, they can sniff some of those things out just by play design and stuff. But week one is tough because you don't really know 100% what to key on. And of course, Nick Bolton, I think he'll be a smart linebacker down the road, but we're just not sure yet how far along he is. Now, the Browns will also have Odell Beckham Jr. back on offense. You know, he was hurt last year with the torn ACL. He'll be back. It sounds like they think he'll probably be on some kind of snap count for the game. But, you know, it sounds like he should get a good chunk of snaps. And I know personally, just me, when I think OBJ with the Browns, it doesn't worry me too much. In his first year with Baker, they weren't able to get on the same page and do much. And then last year, you know, over the first seven games, they just didn't click. But listening to the Browns podcast, they had an interesting perspective that it was less about OBJ and Baker Mayfield's connection and more about those first seven games. Kevin Stefanski, who was the new head coach, he just didn't know the team that well. He got, you know, about 3 weeks to work with Mayfield before the season. Then they had the first, you know, seven games before their bye, and then OBJ got hurt the game before the bye. So, you know, they think they installed a lot of passing concepts, went over the playbook in that bye week, took out what they didn't like, and kind of circled what they liked, and let Baker do more over the last nine games last season, and OBJ just wasn't a part of that because of the timing. So, you know, it should be interesting. I kind of want to see OBJ and Snead go at each other a little bit in this game. Of course, listening to the Browns podcast, you know, I only listen to a couple. There are a lot of them. They're a well-covered team. But there's not a lot of respect out there for Snead. You know, people just don't know his name nationally yet. So it's going to be a lot of fun when they realize that this guy not only can run and has the physical ability, but he's got the hands and he's a playmaker too. And if Mayfield goes at him too many times, he's going to get one. So, excuse me. You know, that should be fun for us to watch in real time. Now, of course, Cleveland uses their tight ends very heavily at times. That's kind of a thing Stefanski was known for with the Vikings. And then when he came to Cleveland, especially early last year, they did a lot of that. They've got three very good tight ends in Harrison Bryant, who's a rookie last year, David Njoku, who was a first-round pick, I believe, 4 years ago. And then they signed Austin Hooper from the Falcons before last year. And, you know, he's a very solid tight end. So they got three guys who can make plays, and they'll use them in a variety of ways. And then in the run game, you know, they started out last season using a lot of zone running, you know, similar to the Chiefs last year. And then as the season went on with their offensive line, they kind of switched to gap schemes, very similar to what the Chiefs are going to this year. The Browns have a very big, very strong offensive line. According to PFF, you know, they've got the one or two ranked players at four different positions, basically. And then they had the rookie tackle, Wills, who was, you know, a top half in the league at his position as a rookie. And, of course, you know, he missed the game against the Chiefs, the playoff game. I think he got to play one series and got hurt, so he wasn't a part of that game. But they've just got a big bruising offensive line, and it's very good in the run game. And you know, they're going to try to punish these Chiefs defensive linemen. And, of course, with Chris Jones moving the defensive end, that screen game, you could see them kind of targeting him early in the game with some screens to that side, kind of letting him over-pursue upfield and trying to hit some things behind him. That will be interesting to see if you know, how well he reads that, sniffs that out. And then, you know, can the Chiefs just consistently make the plays on these running backs through the game that they need to? Because Nick Chubb is probably, in my book, the best running back in the league. Kareem Hunt is, you know, we know what he can do. He's the best number two running back in the league. And if you haven't got to watch a lot of Nick Chubb, he is a punishing runner. And it seemed like last year in the Browns games that I saw, Chubb would play early and kind of soften a defense. And then Kareem Hunt would come in a lot on third down. He'd come in a little more in the second quarter and in the third quarter. And then the Browns would bring Chubb back in the fourth quarter to close out these games, and he would just absolutely run over people because they were tired of getting hit by him and Kareem Hunt. So, you know, we'll see if our defensive aggressiveness and toughness is ready to meet the challenge week one. And one thing about this Browns offensive line, they are huge mauling guys in the run game, but they aren't necessarily the best pass protectors in the world. They are very good, but, you know, they're not elite in that area. And Wyatt Teller last year, who was, you know, the top ranked guard, Chris Jones ate him alive in the playoff game and made some big plays. So it'll be interesting to see how much Jones moves inside in this game, to see if they can take advantage of that same matchup that they were able to take advantage of in the playoff game. And just to finish up on the Browns' offense, the rest of the wide receivers behind OBJ aren't slouches. They've got Jarvis Landry, who's been, you know, in this league a long time, and he's a really good slot receiver. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, a young receiver with the Browns that kind of had to fill in for OBJ last year and started to emerge as the season went on. They hit him for a big play in the playoff game against the Chiefs last year. So he's definitely got a lot of size, a lot of speed. And they still got Rashard Higgins, who plays And I believe he was injured coming into this week, but he has practiced, so they do have some weapons on the outside. And it's going to be fun to see how the Chiefs defense, who I believe is, you know, improved, even though I don't know that it's necessarily seen that way nationally, you know, see how they perform week one against a team that's going to kind of follow a blueprint and try to run and beat them off play action and do some things. So we'll see, you know, the way the Chiefs defense used a lot of different coverages in the preseason. You know, they were not shy, Spags. He disguised a lot of coverages, you know, showed a lot of things that you don't necessarily always show in the preseason. But, you know, the Chiefs did. They wanted to see what they had in the young guys. They wanted to put some things on tape. So this should be one heck of a matchup. Now, the Chiefs on offense, you know, we're going to see the new offensive line for the first time. The Browns defensive line, you know, has Malik Jackson in the center. And then they've got Sheldon Day as a backup defensive lineman. And, of course, they got Myles Garrett. They've got Clowney on the outside, and they've also got Tack McKinley, who's, you know, kind of a pass rush specialist guy that they brought in this year. So their defensive line definitely has some talent. I probably forgot a name or two too in there, but really it's going to come down to can Clowney and you know, going up against Orlando Brown and Myles Garrett going up against Lucas Niang, and they will rotate those guys back and forth from side to side. So Niang and Orlando Brown are going to have their hands full, and we will see how this goes. Now, listening to the Browns podcasts, you know, they weren't necessarily super impressed with what they saw from Orlando Brown last year when he was with the Ravens. So it kind of sounds like they're excited for this matchup, even maybe more so than Niang, because they don't really know what the Chiefs have in Niang. So it'll be, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Brown can kind of shut some of the doubters up in Cleveland and kind of shut me up a little bit too, because, you know, I'm not 100% sure how good he is yet. You know, everything he does is a little bit ugly, and, you know, you want everything to be perfection, and that's just not really how it's going to be with him. But as long as he gets the job done, that's all that really matters. And on a side note, I did see that Eric Fisher is listed as the starting tackle for the Indianapolis Colts in week one. He's not going to get much practice time, and we'll see if that changes before game time Sunday, but that would be one heck of a recovery to get hurt in January and be, you know, the starter in the first game in September. So even if, you know, he doesn't play in week one, that's still one heck of a recovery for Eric Fisher. So, you know, the Browns D-line, they're going to try to get Mahomes to, you know, stay in the pocket. They're hoping to not let him get out and scramble where he is so dangerous. And, of course, you know, starting with the weapons, we've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we've got Darrell Williams, we've got Jerick McKinnon. And, you know, there's a lot of talk that, you know, the Browns might try to go smaller on their defensive line and go with two linebackers and just really play the pass, try to bracket Travis Kelce with a couple guys. That's great. We've got this big, strong offensive line now, and we can just run over those guys. It will not be a problem for us now. So if that's how they play us, I expect to see a lot of the run game and a lot of short passing. And then if we're able to run them out of that, you know, I still expect, even if they bracket and double Kelce, that he's going to get his catches. And then, crazily enough, one of the podcasts was talking about leaving Denzel Ward on Tyreek Hill one-on-one. And if they do that, Hill will just absolutely torch them for two touchdowns. So let's hope that they do that, but I don't think they will. I think they will leave two guys on Hill all the time. And, you know, those guys are still going to get theirs. But then that also means that there's going to be one-on-one opportunities for Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, you know, Mecole Hardman. And we'll see if those guys can take advantage of those matchups. Now, the Browns do have, you know, a decent secondary on paper. It's young. They got Denzel Ward, who's kind of their emerging star corner. Even though, you know, Kelce just tore him apart in the preseason game last year. And if they leave him on Hill, Hill will tear him apart this year. But he's still, you know, a very talented corner. And then, of course, you've got Greg Newsome. He's a rookie this year. He's going to be their number two corner. He won that job beating out Greedy Williams. Greedy Williams will be their three. And then they've got Troy Hill, who's kind of their inside slot guy. So, that you know, they're four corners deep, pretty good. And then they've got a couple good safeties. Of course, they've got the rookie, I believe, from Notre Dame, who's kind of, you know, supposed to be the big coverage. You know, he was kind of a linebacker, safety hybrid in college at Notre Dame, I think. You know, they're kind of looking at him to be a guy who shuts down tight ends, but I still don't expect them to leave him on Kelsey one-on-one. I mean, hopefully they do, because Kelsey will eat him alive, but I don't expect that. You know, they've got a pretty good defense, but the Chiefs just have too many weapons. They can't stop everybody. And if they do play the pass so heavily, I just expect us to run it down their throats all day and to be pretty successful. And then we're still going to pass at a very high level. And when we do, you know, when guys are having to look back and try to play the run and try to stop these screen passes and the short passes, that's going to open up, I think, probably a couple easy deep shots, you know, sometime during this game. And I expect the Chiefs to really just kind of handle the Browns. You know, I didn't really know how I felt about it until I got to looking at it more and more. But, you know, the only thing that gives me too much worry is the Chiefs' offensive line. You know, it only takes Niang or Brown getting beat two or three times a piece to, you know, affect this game pretty heavily. But even if the Chiefs, for some reason, gave up, say, 10 points in turnovers or something like that, I still think they can overcome that. You know, that's not the scenario you want to see, but I believe they could overcome that and still win this game. So I'm looking at the Chiefs winning this game something like 35 to 24, something in that range. That is all I got this week. I hope you guys have a great week, and go Chiefs.